Well, I can hardly wait to see what God is going to do among us in the next 5 days. I'd like to take just a few minutes to challenge you and see what you can expect in the next few days. Why have you come to Urbana? You know, I came to my first Urbana because I had to. My parents were missionaries overseas. I didn't have anywhere to go between Christmas and New Year's, and somebody paid my way. I didn't know what Urbana was or why it was such a big deal, and so I came. Well, why you have come really doesn't make any difference at all unless you let it make a difference. I don't know your reason. There are many different reasons, but you don't need to make it a difference. You can stick to your reasons or you can say, "Here I am, God, show me." Let me challenge you that now is the time to drop your expectations or your lack of expectations and let God be God here at Urbana. Let God be God here in your life. Our theme at Urbana this year is He dwelled among us. God moved into our neighborhood. God moved into your neighborhood. This conference is all about what it means now for Jesus to live among us and what it means for us to be good neighbors in the kingdom of God, inviting others to become followers of Jesus. There are two simple things that I want to say about this. First, your neighborhood, God's mission, is much smaller than you think. It is positively tiny. Let me tell you a little story. It happened a few years ago, but I was a student once. And when I was a student, I was actually a kind of foreign student. I spent my entire life overseas, and when I came to the United States, I looked like an American, and I talked like an American, but I didn't feel that America was my neighborhood. I didn't understand how my fellow students thought or why they did the things that they did, and I was in what you would call culture shock. The summer before I started college, my older brother had preceded me by 4 years, and he had gone to Purdue University. He said, "Jim," he says, "you're going to this little college, and there's no Christian fellowship group there. You need to start a Christian fellowship group, and the way that you do it is you start a Bible study." And so he said, "Here's how you do it." He says, "You call a few of your friends, people that you know, and I'll show you how to lead a Bible study." And that's what he did. I called some friends, and I still remember my older brother. He led a Bible study on Psalm 139, that great psalm about how God knows us. And I sat and watched, and I participated a little bit, and I went off to college. That was my preparation for ministry in a secular setting. A few weeks into my first semester as a freshman, I thought, "Oh, I got to do something about this, but I don't know anybody, and how can I get going?" So I thought, well, there's the student body president of this small college, 750 people. I said, "Mel, would you like to start a Bible study?" He was horrified. He said, "Well, if you'd like to do it," he says, "why don't you go ahead?" But he didn't want to have anything to do with it, and he did all he could to avoid me. I'd see him coming, and I'd see him dodge in order to get away. I wasn't going to get any help from him, and so I looked around, and I thought, "Well, who are the Christians around here, and how can I invite them?" And I did. I invited Christians to a Bible study. And I included Mel because I had heard that he was a pastor's son, and I thought surely a pastor's son would be interested in a Bible study. Every Sunday evening, I'd go and knock on doors and invite people. Most of the time, folk didn't come. I was terrified. It didn't seem to go well. And then the last Sunday, just before Christmas, we had a Bible study. A lot of people came, and Mel, the student body president, came as well. And it went really well, and he participated energetically. And I was absolutely walking on cloud nine as we walked up from downstairs in the library where we'd had this meeting. And as we came up and I walked out, there was a guy who lived across the hall from me. He was into the wildlife. He got drunk every weekend. He was doing badly in school. He was the last person I would have thought would have been interested in a Christian fellowship or would have come to a Bible study. And he looked at me and he said, "What were you doing?" And with all these people around me, I courageously said, "Why, we are having a Bible study." And he had this crestfallen face and he said, "Why didn't you tell me? I would have come." I went from there to my first Urbana. He dropped out of school and I never saw him again. It never occurred to me that this person was my neighbor or that he would be interested in a Christian fellowship on campus. His lifestyle didn't tell me that he would be interested. This was the neighborhood that God had put me in. It was my mission. And this fellow missed out because I didn't reach out. That experience taught me that God's mission is much smaller than I thought. It is your roommate. It's your neighbor. It's the people you see every day. It's people who are in your family. And people that you would never think would respond to Jesus' invitation. God's mission is much smaller than you might think. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. Think of someone close to you who's not a follower of Jesus. Think for a moment how precious that person is in God's eyes. Isaiah 49:16 says, "See, I've engraved you on the palm of my hands." He doesn't say, "I've engraved your name on the palm of my hands." He says, "I've engraved you on the palm of my hands." God's talking about the people who are his. Now let's go low tech here. Get out a pen and write a person's name on your hand. Okay, I've already done it because I knew this was coming. I did it in advance. I got a name right here. And this goes for all of you, not just to our students. It goes for exhibitors. It goes for those of you who are on InterVarsity staff. It goes for everybody. I would like to see everybody, if you can, write a person who is precious to you and to God on your hand. Don't worry about the ink there. Or and if you've forgotten a pen or you don't know how to write, you can call your friend's name up on your cell phone, a name that you might have that's in there. And I'm going to ask all of you to do this. In a second, I'm going to ask you to stand and then hold your hand up and say the name of that person together. But before I do that, two more things. If you don't have a name, then hold up an empty hand and ask God to show you that person. Sometimes it's hard to think of somebody. It's somebody that you may not have noticed, but you can hold up an empty hand and then you can simply say, "God, show me," or "show me." Or if you're not a follower of Jesus yourself and you're a seeker, write your own name with your finger on your hand, and then you can say your own name. Okay? Would all of you stand, please? All right? Get ready. Here we go. And then I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and together we're going to say this name. Put up that hand. Put it up. Right up. Right up there like that. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Charles, have a seat. We're going to be encouraging you to practice the Bible study skills that you learn here at Urbana. And perhaps you could invite this person to join you in studying the Bible. You're going to hear more about this later. But from tomorrow on, you'll be able to pick up a guide at the InterVarsity booth or at the bookstore in the exhibit hall. And that can help you. You'll be hearing quite a bit more about that. Secondly, your neighborhood, God's mission, is much bigger than you think. It is positively gigantic. It was at Urbana 1970 that God called me and also called the person who's now my wife and sitting backstage over here. And that call took us overseas for 25 years. It took us to the country of Pakistan. It took us to Bangladesh, then to Jordan, then back to Pakistan, to Cyprus for 16 years, and then to where you see me now standing as the director of Urbana and then with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I was sitting where you are, and I had no idea that God would bring me here. And he has. But it wasn't because of Urbana that we went to all these places and did all these things, but it was because we said yes to God at Urbana, and then we said yes again, and again, and again. And we're not done yet. We have not said yes for the last time, because we know that God continues to call us. At this Urbana, we will be inviting you to say yes to God. You'll be hearing more about it as the conference goes on. But let me say this. Don't take that decision lightly. You will be asked to say yes to God in one way or another. Don't take it lightly, because it can have an enormous effect on your life, even if it doesn't feel like much at the time. You are in a place, a situation in life, where you can make decisions that set your life trajectory for the future, right up until you die. God's mission, your neighborhood is tiny. It's where you live. But your neighborhood, God's mission, is bigger than you can possibly imagine. One thing I can say for sure is that you have no idea what you unleash when you say yes to God. You will see parts of your neighborhood that you never dreamed of. It is your neighbor across the hall, and it's Outer Mongolia. Let go of your expectations. And let God be God in your life here at Urbana 09. Amen.